Yes, I'd like to thank everyone for giving me this opportunity. Mr. Jeff for kind of a last second notice on letting me have this, but I hope it all works out and that you all will be able to take something from this lesson, as I have so far. Why it was kind of last notice, I'll let you know. I had the short talk on Wednesday, but I was going through a lot, and I had a bunch of verses written out, and I was getting so many verses, and it was turned into Gary short talk. I don't want to put you all through that, so I decided to switch with this sermon, and it's going to be a shorter sermon, so I'm sure nobody's going to be angry with that. Like I said, I've been having a lot of struggles the last couple of days. A lot of tough obstacles that have came to my life. First of all, a close family of mine, the dad, had to be separated from him because he had a mental illness, leaving one of the daughters very scared for possibly his life if he doesn't receive help, coming to me and not knowing what to do. Second of all, a very good friend of mine lost his grandfather. He started to doubt his faith and was questioning his faith for God. And then to top it all off, possibly one of my best friends told her parents, her best friend, and her preacher that she no longer believes in God and that she will not go to church anymore. So as you can imagine, it's been a very difficult week for me in the past couple of days. But as I laid in bed that night, I received all this bad news and it just came and piled on and piled on. And I looked up at my wall and I just thought, and they asked me, PJ, what do we do? And I just looked up at the ceiling and said, God, what do I do? And as you have been able to tell from the intro, that I'm going to be talking about obstacles. And all of us here, looking out, I know most of us here have faced many obstacles just within the past year. I can think many challenges that many people here have gone through. I mean, obstacles are something that we all face. And it's something that you're going to face. If you haven't had an obstacle that has been life-changing in your life yet, it's going to come at one time or another. And we need to first start out by realizing that obstacles are going to come. We're going to be faced with them. So let's start by turning over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. And you have forgotten this exhortation which speaks to you as my son. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father doesn't chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them. But for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and your feeble knees, and make your path straight for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people in holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. As it says, tough times are going to come. As a child is chastened by his father, the Lord is going to do that to us. If you think about a child that gets everything he wants, what does that child turn into? We've seen a couple of those, I bet, in the grocery market. They turn into a spoiled brat, getting everything that they want. And as it says in verse 8, that we need to face those hard times. And also in verse 12, I like how it says, strengthen the hands which hang down in your feeble knees. Basically, straighten your knees, straighten your path, so that you can get over these hard times. And we also have good examples of the Israelites having to do some hard work over in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go into dispossessed nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants of Anakim, whom you know and whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the great descendants of Anak? Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you. So you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. Do not think in your heart after the Lord has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or uprightness of your heart that you may go in to possess their land, but because of their wickedness in these nations that the Lord your God drives them out before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. We are going to have to work hard to overcome obstacles, as Israel did here, to defeat the descendants of Anakim. But it isn't because Israel deserved it, though. It's because God let them do it, as he says many times throughout this reading, as in verse 6. Therefore, understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this because the good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are stiff-necked people. So it's not because they deserved it, but it's because God was letting them have it. Also, look over in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wills of the devil. Also, look over in verse 13. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What would be the worst possible case scenario for a warrior going into battle? It would probably be him forgetting his armor. Can't really fight without that. And the same goes with us in our lives. If we're not prepared and ready for battle every day, it's going to be a long life. If we're not prepared to face obstacles, because it says here that they are going to come and we have to be able to withstand them. But a comforting fact that sometimes hard to find when we're faced with obstacles can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Down with me in verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man, but God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. No matter what type of obstacle or temptation that is in our way, God is always going to give us a way out. He's not going to put us in a situation that we will not be able to bear, and which can be good because we're going to face times where we think it's hard, but maybe it's not as hard as we think, because harder times are going to come, as we learn in Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12, we'll be reading verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? That's like me saying, I want to go to the Olympics and run. Well, if I can't even contend with high schoolers, how am I going to contend with the pros? It's just not going to happen. And that is what this verse is trying to say. If you think it's bad now, what are you going to do when it gets really hard? We have to be able to overcome those obstacles and realize with those obstacles, what am I doing in the position that I'm in? Once we have accomplished to see what position we are in, we can take everything to God in prayer. When I look back at the situation I was in, I should have first thought, what can I do to get me out of this position? And look at the situation, taking a step back. And it's so easy to do it now when you're out of those situations, but when you're in them, you don't really need to do that. When I look at the situations, all three of them, I had no control in changing the outcome of any of them. And sure, I could have made a difference with the encouragement and maybe the advice that I was giving, but overall, the situation wasn't going to change by me fretting about it. Instead, I should have just taken everything to God in prayer, who controls all things. And we always need to be taking everything to God in prayer, because He will be able to get us out of anything. As Marshall mentioned in his short talk a couple weeks ago about prayer, think about any relationship. The same goes with God. If you're in a relationship with somebody and you don't talk to them, good luck with that. It's not going to last that long. But the same goes with God. If we're not talking with Him, how is He going to know when we need help? And take a look with me, as we have many examples of God wanting us to pray and Jesus praying. I'm going to go through a couple of verses here. Look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Verse 12 says that we need to always continue the prayer. Also in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. Who better of an example do we have to follow than Jesus? Jesus went out and prayed alone to God to talk to him, as we should do also. Look over a couple of chapters later in chapter 18 of Luke. Luke chapter 18, just in verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. That we says there at the very end, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And the same should go with us. And lastly, look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in verse 17, this one brings home the point very clearly, I think. Simple enough, it says, pray without ceasing. We need to always be praying and to never stop praying. So when we are down in the dumps and think we're never going to be able to get over this obstacle, it's good to read over some of these verses that we need to pray. And it couldn't hurt us one bit to invite God into our lives and help us and guide us through the many challenges that we may face. And sometimes you may know some people like this, that when you're faced with some obstacles, you know there's some people to avoid because they really don't care if you have a problem. They would rather you have problems so that you're not talking to them. You can't go to those people when you're faced with those problems, but it's good to know that God is always a person that's going to listen to us when we have those problems. You look over in Psalms 55. Psalm chapter 55, and in verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Also look in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and in verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Good to know that no matter what happens, God is always going to be there to listen to our problems that we may come across. And sometimes when people don't listen to us, it's good to know to have that backup person, that God shouldn't be our backup person, but always go to Him in prayer. And when we pray, we also need to be praying with faith, not just praying for the stuff that our parents told us to mention in prayers, but stuff that comes from the heart. Look in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 20. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 20. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed was withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and he will have them." So when we pray, we need to have faith that what we're praying about, we're going to receive. Not just going through the motions of prayer, actually having a heart-to-heart conversation with God. And one way that I think that all of us can do that is, I call it bedside praying. It's where you get on your knees on the side of your bed and just all by yourself pray to God. It's when you can really have a heartfelt connection with God. And it's where I've had some of my best days, where I've been able to just pray to God, just me and Him, and really talk with Him about what's going on in our life. Another thing is that there is power in prayer. We see this throughout the scripture, that there is power in prayer, that God's going to give us what we pray for. And you can see that, a great example in James. James chapter 5, starting in verse 16. "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." That is, when I read it, pretty impressive, to pray that it would not rain, and then God answers that prayer, and it did not rain on the earth, in that area, for 3.5 years. And then it says in verse 18, "And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain." If you would please take out a songbook and just turn to song number 730 real quick. This was the song that actually gave me the idea for this lesson. I was out mowing one day, and I couldn't get this song out of my head. And as I started thinking about the words, it fit in so perfectly with the verses that were coming to my mind. And if you just read the second and third verses with me: "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." Verse 3, "Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there." I think those are some great words from that song. And the verse that the song was written from is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 28 reads, Matthew 11 verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This verse couldn't really apply any better. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor." Labor, what does that mean? Work. as I look out, most of us here are working. And I just got a job, so I know what it's like to work now. That's free. I'm not going to charge you for that one. And then it goes on to say, who labor and are heavy laden, or people who are burdened, they're loaded down with troubles. And as we're facing obstacles, we can easily get this way. It's ironic that work and troubles are there in the same verse, kind of. And then it also goes down to continue at the end, and I will give you rest. And that easily triggers me because I like resting and sleeping. I did it this afternoon before the lesson. And I know when you're troubled and you're working and all this stuff happens, it's good to know that God's going to be there for us. And the last verse is in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 6, I actually wrote down the wrong verse, I had 13. Good verse, but not the one I'm looking for here. Philippians 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let our requests be made known to God. If we need to let everything, we need to take everything to God in prayer. Let our troubles be God's troubles, because He wants to help us. By taking our worries, struggles, and burdens, and whatever we come across to God in prayer, those obstacles can vanish. And like in my case, who knows, some good may come out of it in the end. I didn't want to leave everybody thinking that all those bad things stayed bad. It actually ended pretty good in most of those cases. The boy who was questioning his faith after his grandfather's death, he sent me this text that I printed out to read to you. It said, he wrote to me just the day after he was questioning his faith. He wrote, I'm not taking my grandfather's death as hard because we knew he was leaving us soon. The doctor gave him 18 months to live, but he ended up living for over 8 years. So I'm glad I got to be with him as long as I did. I know I can keep my hopes up because I know where he's at now. He doesn't have chronic pains he once suffered from. So instead of tears of pain, it should be tears of joy, because he can finally meet his Creator. Just one day after all the troubles this kid was going through, he sent me that. And it was so uplifting to see somebody that was so down pray today, and then they got up to that sense of maturity in one day to write something like that. It was truly impressive to see from him. And then my good friend who was able to look her parents in the eyes and say she doesn't believe in Christ, is doing better, somewhat better. I heard that she went to church this morning, and they have been studying with her. The preacher has been studying with her every day since I last talked to her, and she has been to church today, and I'm sure she's at church right now also. And as for me, somebody were to tell me that I would be giving a sermon about overcoming obstacles when all this hit me, I would have probably thought you were crazy. But yet here I am giving a sermon about overcoming obstacles and taking everything to God in prayer. A friend told me this quote. He said, God places the heaviest burdens on those who can carry its weight. And I couldn't agree any more with this quote that he sent me. And I hope that everyone here will be a Christian, that God will be able to put those burdens on. Because I know everyone here should be able to carry those burdens and take everything to God in prayer. And if you are not a Christian and would like to become one, or if you are a Christian but maybe you've been faced with some obstacles and those obstacles are winning right now, you need to come forward and make a public confession. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing this song?